Today on Real Radio.
The fact of the matter is, you have failed even to meet the standard of somebody like Nicodemus. You've even failed to meet the standard of somebody like Paul the Apostle. You look at his achievements as a good Jew, and we couldn't meet up to his standards, and you're not doing it now, and we're not going to make it, and so what do? The Scripture says that by the keeping of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. We're not going to make it by keeping the law, because the fact of the matter is the law can't be kept.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We begin a new mini-series that focuses on what is quite arguably the most key passage in all of Scripture that proclaims the truth that our salvation is of the grace of Almighty God alone. We're speaking, of course, about Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When God gave Moses the law, he gave to man the standard of what he would accept into heaven. It was the absolute perfect law. And it's given in Exodus chapter 20 concerning the great Ten Commandments, that when Jesus came and spoke, he interpreted the law. And when he did that, he said that the law came through Moses, yes. But the truth of the matter is, it wasn't just to the Pharisee and the scribe and to the nation of Israel that if they didn't physically do this, but they did physically do the other, and they thought they did all of the things right, which they really weren't doing, but let's say they felt like they were living a right and just life. I haven't broken the Ten Commandments. Maybe a good Jew would say, I've been really right on about the whole thing. Jesus comes on the scene, who in fact is God in human form, the Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity of God. Jesus comes on the scene and he says, well, let me tell you, as we covered last week, the fact and the truth of the matter is, it's not what you do or what you don't do. He said, the truth is what's in your heart. He said, you may never have committed adultery physically, but if you've thought it, you're guilty of it. That's how perfect the law is. You go, well, that's not all that nice. You know, it's pretty scary. Well, the whole thing was that Jesus Christ was giving to us the law, that it was spirit as well as truth. And it discerned and revealed the intents of the heart. Very important. Now, Abraham comes on the scene much earlier than when the law was given. And God establishes a wonderful relationship with Abraham all through faith and all through this thing of justification by faith alone. Abraham was saved before the law ever came. People, listen, those of you, we've been mentioning it, those of you struggling in a legalistic relationship with God, I know after last week, some of you coming out of, some of you still in cults, and you're visiting here tonight, or you're coming. Listen, you're to be commended for your zeal. You are very zealous and you try very hard. But the fact of the matter is, you have failed even to meet the standard of somebody like Nicodemus. You've even failed to meet the standard of somebody like Paul the Apostle. You look at his achievements as a good Jew, and we couldn't meet up to his standards, and you're not doing it now, and we're not going to make it, and so what do? The Scripture says that by the keeping of the law, no flesh shall be justified in God's sight. We're not going to make it by keeping the law, because the fact of the matter is the law can't be kept. Well, so do we throw it to the wind? No. Paul says we acknowledge that the law, it is holy, just, and good, and it's a great thing. But the law must be used properly. Paul the Apostle tells us throughout the book of Romans, but specifically Romans chapter 7, he tells us that it is the law that condemns all men under sin. Man. Well, don't get too wrapped up into that depressing thought, because the next chapter after chapter 7 in the book of Romans is chapter 8, which is one of the most liberating revelations you could ever touch. The law, as we mentioned before, was to drive you to a place of saying, I can't do this anymore. I've been trying so hard. I was baptized. I was this. I got my confirmation. I was to communion. All this went through. I went door to door. I knocked on every door I could find. I went through my missionary time. I did my 2 years. I pumped my bike all over these hills. And inside, there's still an emptiness. There's still a void in my heart, and I don't have the assurance that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Well, the good news is Jesus Christ has come and to give us that life, and it's absolutely abundant in and through Him. And it's free, and it cannot be earned. That is why God established a relationship with Abraham by faith before the law ever came along. That's why it's silly, futile, and frustrating for you and I to try to approach God on a legalistic basis. It doesn't work. So Master Moses really needs to meet Father Abraham. And here's the deal. Remember growing up on your block, on your street? Kind of a weird thing. Seems like every street that any of us grew up on, there's a bully on the street. And some of you were the bully. And that's okay. But some of us weren't the bully. But on that street, on my street, there was Bobby Kelly. And he was a great guy, because he was a great guy. I liked him, because he did everything I asked him to do. So I liked being around him. Then there was Bobby Schroeder, lived next door. He's just a fun guy. He's crazy. And it's funny, because when I was in a certain mood, I'd play with Bobby. And then when I was in a certain mood, I'd play with Bobby Kelly, or Bobby Schroeder, or Danny up the street. But on the street, always on the street, there's somebody. And I had one on my street where the guy was just like the monkeys at the zoo with the monkeys picking on the other monkeys' back. What do you got there? What do you got there? You ever seen those monkeys on the thing? You know what I'm talking about? Where you go to the zoo and the monkeys, they're swinging around having a great time, but there's always a couple off in the corner. And the one guy's like trying to relax and eat his banana and kick back, and the other monkey's picking on his back, taking the little fleas off of him. What do you got to do? And there's somebody like that on every street growing up. And maybe in every house. You know what? You got this wrong with you right here. And you know what? And they're picking again. What is it? And that's how Moses, I think, had a tendency by revelation to maybe be like, you know what? You stepped at, what is, that's number 9. That's 8. You stepped at a line over there on that one right there. Moses knew the law. God had given them the law, and the holiness of the law was so great on the mountain. And it was so vivid in his eyes. And there's a tendency to be so consumed with the law that rather than applying it to your life, Romans chapter 2 talks about, and Romans 3, you wind up self-justifying and imposing it on others, and you're wondering, how come you're not doing that, huh? And that's how Moses might have been on his street, but then Abraham comes along. And Abraham and Moses, I don't know if they would have gotten along, though they were loved by God. They're totally different kind of ministries. Maybe a very legalistic ministry, maybe a very gracious ministry over here on this side. And so we covered last time verse 8, and then we'll hit 9 right now. But in verse 8, he says, for by grace you have been, past tense, it's done, saved through faith. And? No. It goes on to say, and that not of yourselves, that's true. But there's some people that you and I might know, or maybe we've come out of a denomination or a background or something where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith and baptism. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. By grace you have been saved, but now that you've been saved, you got to work your tail off, partner, to keep it that way, to keep it saved. No, that's not what the Bible says. For by grace you have been saved, plus... In Portuguese, it's nada. Nada. That sounds like nothing, doesn't it? Nothing. In Southern California slang, it's zip. In Russian, it's нет. That sounds like no, nothing, doesn't it? Faith plus no way, nothing. And the moment we begin to attach some works onto that thing, we have to take an eraser and erase faith off the formula. And don't you dare do that. Because it's faith in Jesus Christ alone, people. Alone. It's faith in Jesus Christ alone that will get you into heaven. Thank God that's why, for some few precious, privileged folk who live their lives alienated from Christ, for some few, there is still the deathbed conversion situation that happens, and it's a great thing to see. How can it happen? By faith in Jesus Christ alone. But Jack, I'm an okay kind of person. I'm okay. Don't ever think like that. Because you're not okay. You need Him so desperately. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And here's the text for tonight, verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Not of works. You see, the law was given to expose us our shortcoming of works. You can't do it. And you would back up and try again, you'd fail. You ever gone through those airport detector deals? They drive you nuts. Now, you like them because of the security thing, but it's crazy. And you walk through there, beep, can you please step up, Miss Sir, can you step up? Okay, and you pull out, put your key. You go in through your pockets. Okay, step through again, please. Beep. Okay, try it one more time. So you walk through there again, and you go through, and that thing just searches you and picks it just right there. And then if it goes off and they can't, and your pockets are empty, what do? Can you step over here, please? And then they do this wand thing. Up your armpits. It's like, oh, man. And you're like this. It's weird. It's just weird. But they got to do it. And that thing is scanning, and you're going, there's nothing on me. I don't know. Maybe your machine's broke. This is a true story. I was somewhere. And... And we're all running to get on this airplane. We flew from Estonia to Stockholm, from Tallinn to Stockholm. And we get there, and everybody's getting on the plane. And so I'm getting on the plane. Meep. Come on, can you step back? And I'm like, everything's off of me. And the beep. So they go, can you come over here, please? Oh, man, okay. So I go in this room. And they're just going all over. And then they hit my boots. And my boots have got metal toes on them. And they're going, me, me, me. So then, and they still weren't going to let me go. And they started asking me questions. So I'm thinking, well, I'm not some kind of a, maniac bomb guy or something. But somebody could have planted something somewhere. And maybe it's on my bags. I don't know. But, I'm not freaking because I'm not guilty. Well, you know what happened? In my bags, I had a... In my checking bag, I had a metal clipboard and a rubber band around my metal clipboard. That's not a crime. Well, I had a tape recorder strapped to the metal clipboard. with batteries in it and wires. And when that thing went through the x-ray machine, it looked like a bomb. And so they're talking, asking me all this stuff. And then they start asking me stuff that really got me, what's your mother's maiden name? Well, if I told you, how would you know? I mean, you're Delta Airlines. What is this? Like, and you know, I'm a long way from home. How are you going to know this? It's really weird. Well, come to find out, they went through my bags and everything was fine. And I get on the airplane. Everyone's like waiting, you know. Sit down and we leave. And it's just a crazy thing. The law goes and searches and scans and looks at right here as an impure thought. Just one. Well, now we are going to become religious people and we're going to have a relationship with God and we're going to now live a new life. We're going to work really good at it. And that's okay. But don't for a moment, people, if anybody's in this room, please don't for a moment think that you're going to get to heaven because you don't set the detector off. Because that thing picks up certain things, but God's detector picks up even the thought. And even if we're trying to be good and work good at it, the thing is that we can't do it, and it's not by works. Why not? And I hope you get this. Isn't it funny that all around the world, you'll go around the world, and what's everybody trying to do who want to reach God? They're working toward it. Everybody. That ought to give you a clue right there. Salvation is of the Lord. It's freely given. Yet you go around where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not presented to people freely. And what are they doing? Man, they're working for it. Not by works, lest any man should boast. That means if there's works involved, men will boast. We're so good at it. I'm going to lead all of you into a deeper life with God. It's through this simple path of humility. And I've written my book, 100 Ways to Be Humble. I saw a guy on TV. I won't mention his name because you'll get upset with me. This guy, well, he did a message, and we happened to have caught him on TV. We came home one day. I was very depressed after a Sunday morning message, and so I just came home, and I sat down, and I just thought, Lord, I just like blew it, man. I blew the message. It was the worst. And I'm not the guy to be around after a Sunday service. And because, you know, there's the message you preach in front of the people, then there's the message you preach all the way home. And the one on the way home is always better than the one that you give to the people. And so I'm pretty depressed, so I turned on a television station nearby in Santa Ana that I will not mention. And so I'm watching this thing. And this guy says that, he says, you need to get this video, $29.95. He said, it is the greatest message that I've ever heard. And, wow, that's something. I got to hear this thing. And he goes, you send $29.95 in, the greatest message that I have, that I've ever heard, he said. And he said, you just send in right here, the phone number's on the screen. And that message was just delivered recently. And he said that message was on humility. And it was the greatest message I have ever given. I kid you not. I fixed my whole day. I felt great after that. What is it that causes people to do these things? The rejection of Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, that salvation is a free gift. And it's an assault to any of us who want to work our way into heaven. We think we've got to do penance. That's not in the Bible anywhere. Oh my goodness, I've been so bad on Monday, I'll be good Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. That doesn't work. And we hope in the end that our good outweighs our bad. It doesn't work that way. He says it's not by works, lest any man should boast. Turn to Romans chapter 4, verse 4. A little bit to the left. Romans 4, 4. Book of Romans, fantastic book. Actually, let's just go to verse 1, Romans 4, 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. That's, he can brag to everybody. He goes, on my block, I was the nicest guy. I gave more money than anyone. In fact, the Melchizedek, that guy came by and I gave him some money and blessed him. And you know what? I was just the best. He could have said that toward men. And for any of us who are trying to work our way into the kingdom, you need to sit up and listen to this, because, listen, I don't care how good you are. Your goodness does not outdo the goodness of Abraham, try as you may. But he had nothing to boast about in front of God. No way. And so it says, verse 3, for what does the Scripture say? It says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Isn't that amazing? Abraham had a born-again relationship with God before the law was ever given. Abraham believed in God, and God justified him by belief. Abraham's faith in the Lord caused God to stamp him justified, just if he'd never sinned. So Abraham might have been pretty good before men, but he wasn't perfect before God until God justified him by faith. He saw his faith, and God says, you know what? Listen carefully. Your faith didn't save you, Abraham. The object that you're trusting in has saved you, and for that, you're justified. So free. It says, verse 4, now to him who works, here you go. Now to him who wants to work his way into the kingdom, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the precious and familiar passage, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. This is actually a mini-series, which means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, remember to take advantage of our offer, Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about history's most influential figure, then take advantage of this generous offer. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us, be it by calling, by clicking, or by writing, just ask for The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, it can easily be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.